The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault. Welcome to episode number 32 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, a podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. My name is Pete, and it is the holiday season, so we skipped Hallmark this year and went straight into the other level of hell, that is Lifetime movies.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure which one is a deeper ring in the circle of hell.
Oh,
they're on a similar plane.
Yeah, they're hell adjacent.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So we picked up from the library. We got Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas from 2014.
Okay, so.
Did I get that right? Okay, very good. Anyway, so
Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever.
So sorry. I'm so sorry.
Hashtag Worst Christmas Ever.
Ridiculous.
We will get to. Oh, Dave has decided or volunteered what? Or yeah. Was voluntold to do the.
I was voluntold.
Yeah, to do the 6-minute synopsis, where he will break the movie down in 6 minutes.
I hope.
We hope. We'll get to that later. And then we're going to take a quick break. We have some holiday, much like we did the mulled wine. We have two different holiday drinks to sample tonight. Yes, it's going to be. Ooh, it already smells awesome, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so
excited.
Yeah. So I will say that second one, the one that we brought, is starting to smell better as it's aging.
Did it not smell good initially?
It did not smell good initially. And like Troy like opened the lid to it and was adding something to it or whatever. And Millie like, what is that? And he was like, oh, it's a drink they're making. She goes, it stinks. And he was like, ah, Millie, that hurt my feelings. And she's like, oh, sorry. Walked away. And I'm putzed around doing something in the kitchen. And as I'm doing it, I'm like smelling it. And I finally was like, Millie's not wrong. It does stink. He got a little mad at me for a while.
Bitch, I worked hard on that.
Yeah. It's not your fault if the recipe sucks just because you followed it, you know? I mean...
It's very trusting. We put our hands in people's... Wait.
What?
We put our lives in people's hands. With these recipes.
Wow. Where are you going with that?
Think very carefully before you finish that sentence.
I always wanted to be a proctologist.
Yeah.
That voice, everyone, is our buddy Dave. How you doing, Dave?
I'm just fabulous.
Kathleen is joining us also.
Hello.
Troy.
Hi.
Is here as well. And we have a couple of guests. And I'm not sure why you volunteered to be here with us tonight. Dave's lovely wife, Donna, is here.
Hello.
And our resident Hallmark expert, Katie, is here.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling me an expert for spending hours watching old lady movies.
You're generally the only person I know that has a true affinity to these films.
Thank you.
I don't know
if that's a compliment, but I'm taking it as a compliment.
I was going to say, it's him calling you an expert is not a compliment.
Hey, I'm putting it on my resume, so whatever.
There you go. Did you hear was it in the last episode or the one before where I told Pete that there is a Hallmark Christmas movie con?
It was last episode.
Ooh, I think it's this weekend that it's happening.
I think it was last weekend.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I am the expert.
So. Right.
Yes, it's in New Jersey.
It's in New Jersey.
Oh, that's right.
I want to know what the cosplay is like there.
Oh, God.
I mean, come on.
Oh, my God.
That cosplay is part of these cons.
I'm on your side. I kind of want to know what that looks like.
Oh, I can tell you exactly what that probably looks like. It looks like ugly Christmas sweaters.
Absolutely.
Aprons.
Yeah.
Because they're always baking.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Some tassel or tinsel or some sort of Christmas tree-like garb.
You are an expert.
Yeah. Definitely.
Thank
people
you.
Dressed as Santa and elves.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Does anybody come as a tombstone? Because inevitably, one or the other spouse is dead.
Yes, that's true.
Because they don't divorce in Hallmark movies.
No. Or if they do, they don't speak of it.
Right.
Yes.
Right. What would be awesome is if somebody's wearing those pants Gutenberg's wearing from the one movie that we had.
Oh, the green pants.
Pretty sure those are a custom job.
Jesus. He was wearing a man girdle.
He had to be. Yeah.
He had to be.
No shame. Get down with your girdle. Who cares?
I think that more men should wear shapewear. No, I don't. I don't do that at all.
Spanx for him.
Absolutely.
That's a thing. But no. That's one of the things that sucks for women and is not suck for men. Like, we don't have to wear shit. But you guys, for some reason, societally, are pressured into wearing all this stuff. So
yeah, I don't wear that shit.
Well done. Dude.
Score one for men, I guess.
Because sure. they need added points. So.
We need to be included in more stuff. We need to own
more things. Yeah, we don't control enough. yes. We're terrible.
Yes. Let's not talk about this movie somewhere.
Yes, I did notice that we've been delaying
sort of. This movie is, as I like to say, stupid.
That might be the most apt description. You know, this is just kind of stupid.
This movie, well, we can get into that after I try and give the synopsis.
Oh, yes. Let me pull up my timer.
Oh, crap. Why do I have to remind you of the synopsis?
All right, David, are you ready?
If by ready, do you mean, do I want to do this? No, but I will.
I'm taking that as a yes. So, okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
Right, meow.
So this is a Lifetime original movie. Great. Oh, this is cutting into my time. Anyway, we're flying high into a cloudy evening sky as a festive rendition of Deck the Halls plays. The head of Grumpy Cat rises into frame, and we see she's flying through the sky. She gives a half-hearted meow. Cut to a mall decked out in Christmas decor with festive shoppers and carolers when, record scratch, everything freezes. Grumpy Cat appears on screen and says, Deck the Halls, more like Deck Me in the Face. Deck the Halls is replaced with I Want Hippopotamus for Christmas. And Grumpy Cat, voiced by our sarcastic and disaffected Aubrey Plaza, welcomes us to Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever, colon, the movie. She knowingly taunts us with, you don't have to watch it, but I know you're going to. She implies in a bored monotone that the movie could be filled with exciting car crashes, explosions, and superheroes. She sets this high expectation so that she can enjoy our disappointment when we see that the movie is just a sappy melodrama. This is the first of many asides for self-aware meta-references. She ends with the most appropriately prophetic line, anyway, our terrible story begins here. Cut to the mall exterior, which Grumpy Cat, in Aubrey Plaza's monotonous voiceover, describes as a soul-sucking bastion of consumerism, which serves to drain people's bank accounts and alienate people from the true meaning of life, and that she loves it because it's evil. We cut to Whiskers Pet Store, where Grumpy Cat lives and the animals don't bite, unless provoked. Grumpy Cat mocks the other animals, dogs, hamsters, snakes, etc., as they call out to customers in hopes of getting adopted. Customers don't understand them because they don't speak animal. We introduce to Jojo, a fabulously luxurious, furry Leon Burger dog who's very full of himself. We discover Grumpy Cat has been adopted twice and returned because of her grumpiness. Aww. Enter the mall representative, Gil Brockman, smarmy, passive-aggressive, and looks like an 11-year-old wearing his father's suit. He threatens Marcus, the bespectacled red-haired store owner, that unless they produce their overdue rent, they'll be evicted. Marcus assures Gil that he'll come up with the rent by turning Grumpy Cat into the greatest internet star ever with products, shirts, mugs, TV appearances, and even a Lifetime movie. Oh, another meta reference. Grumpy Cat stops the scene, rewinds and revises it, replays it, and now instead of monetizing the cat, Marcus tells Gil that Jojo, the fancy schmancy dog, is the most expensive Leon Burger in the world, worth $1 million, and that the sale of the dog will take care of the outstanding back rent. Grumpy Cat, incredulous at the dog's worth, claims he sounds like a MacGuffin, and yet another meta reference to how terrible the movie is. She, of course, hates the dog, Jojo. Cut to the mall exterior, where Grumpy Cat introduces this awful movie's heroine, a young girl named Crystal, who Grumpy Cat begrudgingly does not entirely hate. Smash cut to Aubrey Plaza in the sound booth, recording, gloating about how the heroine got second billing to her, Aubrey Plaza, as Grumpy Cat. Crystal greets all the store workers cheerfully as she makes her way through the mall, making her way through to her mother, Tabby, a waitress. She finds Tabby speaking to Jesse, a mall elf, on break, urging her to go to a stupid Christmas party with the other mall employees. Crystal encourages Tabby to go, to which she agrees on the condition that Crystal goes as well. We learn that Crystal kind of, sort of, works at the pet store in the mall. She's not popular at school, and that this is her first Christmas without her dad. Though, this, throughout the scene, Grumpy Cat makes snarky remarks about the people, the scene, and the movie in general. Cut to a perfume kiosk in the mall where George, the security guard, attempts to impress a pretty perfume attendant with an awkward anecdote, but then ends up scaring her off. Crystal exchanges a few pleasantries with George when she encounters three of her popular pretty classmates who cruelly reject her offer to study together. Grumpy Cat continues with a snarky commentary. We cut to Zach and Donnie, musicians dressed like how old people think rock stars dress, shopping for an engagement ring. As they leave the jewelry store, we learn that they're not actually shopping, but planning to rob the store to fund their upcoming concert tour. All right. Deeming the jewelry store heist not profitable enough, they happen upon Marcus and the $1 million dog and formulate a plan to steal it. As they plot, George's security guard cruises by in his jazzy scooter, eyeing the duo intently. Meanwhile, Crystal, wanders through the mall, thinking about how she doesn't have any friends and how the girls rejecting her were such shitbags. A mall Santa happens upon a sad, pensive Crystal and offers her a magical Christmas coin to make a wish in a fountain. She wishes to meet a friend who listens to her and is dependable. She closes her eyes and throws the coin to the wishing well. Throughout the stupid conversation, we hear clues that the mall Santa may not be an actual mall Santa. cut to Grumpy Cat live tweeting how this is the worst movie ever, cleverly heading off any criticisms we may throw at it. Crystal arrives at the pet store and greets Grumpy Cat, who responds with, "Hey, hey, I like those boots, girl. You're looking good." Crystal and the owner, Marcus, commiserate how the money woes and lost loved ones. While Grumpy Cat makes snarky remarks, it's now that Crystal realizes she can hear and understand Grumpy Cat, which is apparently the result of the earlier wish she made. So, of course, the first thing Crystal and Grumpy Cat do is argue. Crystal rushes off to speak with the mall Santa and discovers that the Santa she spoke to earlier might have been magical or whatever. Later at the Christmas party, we see Crystal, her mother, and Jesse in the mall. Jesse, the mall elf, in a room full of ugly sweaters and white elephant exchanges. But unable to stop thinking about Grumpy Cat, Crystal goes back to the now-closed mall pet store to speak to him. Weird. At the same time, outside the mall, the two rock stars, Zach and Donnie, put on the masks and enter the unlocked mall back door to the security office where they tie up George's security guard, disable the camera on the phone, steal the master keys. They enter the pet store, forcing Crystal to hide. They regard Grumpy Cat briefly, stealing Jojo the $1 million dog. After they leave, Crystal discovers the rock star crooks forgot their car keys. Crystal decides to try and rescue the dog from the crooks because, as Grumpy Cat points out, they make the movie longer and gather more ad revenue. Okay. Cut to Zach and Donnie, discovering they forgot the keys in the pet store. They return, finding that the keys aren't in the store. Zach and Donnie hear Crystal and Grumpy Cat make the way get away, and the dog in tow pursue them. As they run, Grumpy Cat encourages Crystal to give up and let the failure wash over him. Grumpy and Crystal hide in a sporting goods store with the crooks behind. They manage to ambush the crooks, shooting them with paintballs. In a bumbling attempt to arm themselves, Zach, or whoever, shoots himself in the foot with a bow and arrow, allowing Grumpy and Crystal to escape, and they throw their keys into a wishing well. George the $1 million dog escapes in confusion. During the stupid ruckus, Gil, the smarmy mall rep, appears at the mall under some stupid pretense and happens upon Jojo. The crook sees Gil and the dog walking in, tackle Gil, thinking he has their car keys. As they interrogate him by hanging him off the second floor balcony, Jojo the dog escapes again. In the meantime, Crystal the Grumpy Cat find and bound and gag George's security guard as well as George the dog. They free him, explain that she can talk to the cat. Crystal insists that they call the cops, but George explains he can't because they stole his phone. Crystal tells George about how she blah, 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 blah. Instead of calling God, love it. Anyway, George's phone rings, revealing that he had the phone the whole time. Instead of calling the police, however, George reveals he plans to steal the dog. Crystal and Grumpy Cat beat a hasty escape. We learn that George and the two Rockstar crooks were colluding the whole time. The original plan was to rob the jewelry store, but the Rockstar crooks ruined everything by attempting to steal the dog. They managed to capture Crystal and Grumpy and bring them back to the pet store. George plans to hold the dog ransom, threatens to hurt Grumpy Cat, finds out where the keys are. Crooks go get him. By the magic of friendship, Grumpy Cat and Crystal, in the other animals in the store, overpower George, and the dog bites George in the dick. Crystal, in the meantime, uses the phone to call her mother, the Christmas party, who, for some reason, didn't miss her. And then they go try to save Jojo from George. Unable to catch up in the rascal scooter, they hijack a convertible Camaro on display in the mall, and a high-speed car chase ensues. A game of chicken. They wreck, sort of. Grumpy Cat is ejected out of the car into a Christmas tree. Oh my God, are you okay? Grumpy, are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh no, you're my friend, only friend. Please still talk to me. Just kidding. Ha ha, I'm an asshole. Mom and Jesse finally arrive. We find out the dog's safer, but it's okay. Gil's still tied up in the mall. Blah blah blah. The movie's over. Merry Christmas, happy family. The end.
Betty Butter Watson, Butter Butter.
Yes, very good.
How further over did I go?
About 35 seconds. So you were super close.
Better than mine last month.
10 minutes. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Oh jeez.
Pete's 6-minute synopsis was more of a like a
12 retelling.
A 12 pack. Yeah.
It was like,
I mean, it's supposed
synopsis
to be a retelling. You're supposed to try to cram as much information as you can in, and you know, depending on how you decide to do it, you can sometimes need to be like the Micro Machines man from the 80s to try to get it all in there.
Yeah. You know what I found depressing about this movie is that I really like Aubrey Plaza, and this made me not like her a little bit. 2014 was when the movie came out, so what was Parks and Rec ending by that point or something?
I don't know, but she was a producer on this movie, so
ooh,
any money that they made from it, she got a cut of too, and
well,
everybody got to eat. So
that's what Dave said. I'm like, God.
Yeah, well, I did read that she doesn't really watch the movie unless she's drunk. She didn't quite understand
that. Was
it
a very funny quote from somewhere. I saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was an interview or something like that.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, I kind of didn't understand the movie, so I'm usually drunk if I watch it, which is what I kind of wish we were, because I watched it sober.
Me
see,
too.
This is
you tried to escape by sleeping watching it. And I had to keep waking you up. And I told you, if I have to stay awake for it, you do too. You cannot escape by sleeping.
Yeah, I definitely more than once heard, honey. Like, oh, what?
Katie recorded the movie live off of TV, so
I did
commercials in.
I did, and the commercials actually were very beneficial because I now have two Christmas movies that I would like to watch this weekend. So thank you for picking this movie, so I have other movies to watch.
I think before we go any farther, though, it's time to drink.
Oh, please. God, yes, please.
Yeah.
Please.
All right, let's go get some holiday drinks.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Oh, I don't have a bottle to open.
Aww.
You don't. Okay, being the holiday season, Troy and I have independently found recipes for a couple of holiday drinks. Mine is just merely a mulled beer. And I looked through a couple of two, three different recipes, and this is the one I cobbled together. This mulled beer is made with Breckenridge Brewery's Vanilla Porter, one of my favorite porters out there, seasoned with clove, nutmeg, orange and lemon zest, and fresh ginger. Just threw it all in a crock pot, let it warm up to, it's not hot really right now. No, it's a little warm, but not. And there's a dash of brandy in each one of your glasses. A couple of the recipes I found, like the crock pot was supposed to have 3 cups of brandy in it on top of the beer. And I thought, why don't we just splash the brandy on? We can add. We can't ever take it out, but we can add if we wanted to. Right. So, and I've garnished it with an orange wheel. So,
nice.
Cheers, folks.
Now, have we done the Breckenridge Vanilla Porter on the podcast before? I feel like if we haven't reviewed it specifically, we have talked about it.
I don't know if we've done that one specifically or not.
Have we done a porter?
Yeah, we did. We did Edmund Fitzgerald once.
Oh, okay.
That is my favorite porter of all time.
Right.
This is very dry.
It is very dry.
Mm-hmm. And it's the first time I've done this recipe, so
that's alcohol forward.
It's pretty boozy.
I might add a little sugar to it.
A little bit sweetening.
Yeah, some kind of a sweetener to it. I think so
because it finishes a little. It tastes good, but the finish is a little flat. Like sugar would give it that little kick.
Right, where that mulled wine.
Troy's chirping over here or yelping.
What just happened?
I was squeezing my orange and it just like a stream of orange just shot right into my shirt.
I'm not entirely thrilled with this. It's not bad. It's very dry. It's very spice forward. Mm-hmm. I would definitely like some more sweetness to this. Like if I had added orange juice to it.
Mm. Orange juice or honey.
Honey. Honey would have been very good. Yeah.
Honey might be better than straight sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you put the brandy in the glasses first and then the...
No. The brandy was the last thing it wasn't even an ounce. Yeah, it was a float.
Mm. That might have been that strong alcohol flavor first, though.
Yeah.
Mm. Squeezing the orange in.
That does help.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Letting it kind of sit in there. This needs some work. I'll be honest.
I like it. I've been excited about this since we brought it up years ago when we first did mulled wine and you had mentioned mulled beer. I'm like, I kind of want mulled beer.
So yeah, it just needs a little bit of work. It's not bad. And Jody's always told me about her time in Poland where they made a warm drink out of Guinness. And got it at a bar and it was like half a liter or something. And it had spices and all sorts of stuff. And I looked all over for a recipe for warm Guinness. And all I found was like stew. Guinness stew. Make shepherd's pie out of Guinness. No, I want a drink. A warm drink made with Guinness.
First
stew.
Get some lamb.
Right. So.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am is eh.
Yeah.
Like. Mm-hmm.
I'm not. No one's hurting my feelings. This is a first time with this recipe. And
right.
I'll make notes on it. See if I can't make it a little better.
As a single tear.
I like that you looked over several things and then applied knowledge that you had to try to create something yourself. And it's so close. Mm-hmm. It's almost mm-hmm. there. I definitely think sweeter more than more adding something drier and bitter like coffee.
That's where I'm leaning. Because a nice warm, a warming drink like this for a winter, you think hot chocolate. And chocolate would not go well in this.
No. No.
But something like a honey day, I think that's a good idea. And maybe I'll cut up those oranges and just squeeze them right in there, and we can try it again later.
Yeah, honestly, with the orange, because I've squeezed orange, and that I helped. Took a giant swallow, because I think the brandy actually was not a good idea.
Okay.
Because once I got through the brandy, its flavor, like the mulled wine, is coming through, and I'm kind of digging it now. So chug real quick, everybody. Go.
What is the kind of the history behind the idea of mulled wine, mulled beer? Like, what's the difference between them other than just
wine
this
and
one's
beer.
With wine, this one's with beer? I knew that's where he was going.
The mulled wine spices and what I use for this are mostly the same stuff. And it's just something to warm you up in the wintertime. If you were, like, carolers would go on, that's why here we go, a wassailing. That's
right.
That's people going around begging for booze, essentially, right. By singing songs. And that's where this was something to...
Wait a minute. Have. Booze was exchanged for performance?
No.
I didn't know that.
I mean, awesome. That's what that song...
Here we go, a wassailing. I just thought that meant, like, let's go get wasted in Victorian England. Like, I see. No, seriously. I just thought that was just like the
it
song
is,
that
but
you sing.
First, you had to sing a song at somebody's door.
Other people supply you with the beer. It's even better than you thought.
Oh, and so what would it be
like,
now?
Sign me up.
Right, right.
Let's
Dave's
go
like,
waffling.
I can sing.
Let's go waffling. Yeah. What a waffle.
What would it be now? Would it be like, here we go, opioiding?
Oh, that's sad.
That was a little dark. Sorry.
Oh, too close to home, honey.
I'm not sorry.
We're in Ohio.
Denial, Ohio, if you believe those commercials.
Oh, goodness.
But no, that's actually fascinating. I had no idea that people would go around singing songs and get paid in booze.
I don't know that it was their job.
Right.
I think it was just like caroling is now, where you get a group of people together that are spreading holiday cheer. And it was sort of, people would know, hey, tonight's the night that this is going to be happening. So the houses they would visit would be prepared to share with them
okay.
the warm alcoholic beverage to warm them up and
wait
keep
a minute.
Them going.
This is just an adult Christmas version of Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, instead of saying trick or treat and you're getting candies, like, here, I'm going to sing you a song. Give me booze.
Yes.
Yeah, why
often,
don't we have this on America?
They often egged the houses of the people who didn't give them alcohol.
That was actually going to be my next question. Is like, do people just have a pot of wassail just in case carolers come by?
They hear them start singing outside. They're like, God damn it. Get the apples. Come on.
Shit, that took 45 minutes.
Exactly.
In a modern oven. I don't think so.
To shut the fuck up. Boil it. Just boil it.
Yeah.
Anyway, no. I think that's a great tradition. I think we should do it here.
And warm beer is definitely a European thing. It's not... I don't recall it ever being something here in the United States, mm-hmm. but it's very common in the colder countries, especially up in the hills. Like Jody was telling me, it's like every bar had its, they all had their own homemade recipe of warm beer with your meal. And usually the ABV of the alcohol was low, much like a Guinness, which has a pretty low
right.
ABV. They would mix that with other stuff and make it even less alcoholic, but it was filling and had good calories in it and vitamins and all sorts
right.
of things.
It was supposed to be fortifying.
And, right. Yeah, right. It was a right. cold weather restorative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was the Flintstone vitamin of its day.
Guinness was strong.
That's my kind of Flintstone vitamin.
Guinness makes you strong.
That's right.
I'm with Troy. Because the more I'm drinking, the more I'm like, yeah, I'm digging this.
I think you had to get through a brandy.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can certainly do it without the brandy. I do
no,
want to try
more brandy.
A little,
or you can put the brandy on the bottom.
That's exactly. Or I can put the brandy on the table.
Or on a separate glass.
And Dave can just drink it out of the bottle himself.
Yeah. Sip from this hand. Sip from that hand.
Right. Right.
Yes. You guys will be drinking your mulled beer, your wassail, and I'll be absorbing brandy rectally.
Honey.
Speaking of absorbing something rectally, how about this movie?
Well done, sir.
Okay.
Was it?
I have to voice a sentiment, and that sentiment is resentment. Because if you just took the grumpy cat element out of this and just had it be a cat and not making little snarky comments and little asides, making meta references, it would be an atrocious movie. Mm. But with the grumpy cat commentary, Grumpy Cat just basically says it's a crappy movie and hates it
from the
and all
start.
That stuff, which undercuts my ability to make fun of it. And I hated that.
Yeah. Yeah. Katie and I talked a little bit the other day about how meta was this movie. Mm-hmm. Were they like, okay, we're going to make a shitty movie, and we're gonna say it's a shitty movie the whole time we're making it in the movie, or were they trying to make a serious movie but it was a shitty movie? And like we were sort of debating that back and forth, but a little bit was like, shut up, save it for Friday.
There's also there's also the added layer of this movie was shot all the way through, and then Aubrey Plaza went back through and added all the commentary afterwards. And they said that 90% of what she said was not in the script.
No,
she just made it up. So, like, how much of this is Aubrey Plaza resenting the fact that she's in this fucking movie? And like,
well, she was a producer.
She's a producer.
Well,
and she had to record that, I'm assuming, sober. I mean, maybe not. But based off of her comment about having to watch it intoxicated, if she had to record it sober, that would probably lend itself towards her very unhappy comments about how awful that movie was.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But that's still also very much on brand with the Grumpy Cat idea, which is everything sucks and I hate it.
Mm-hmm. Aubrey Plaza, the voiceover work, and now that you're saying that was not scripted, so she was just ad-libbing. I was like, whoa, she does not do good voiceover work.
Oh, see. And
maybe it is because of the ad-lib nature. Maybe she had been scripted and she'd had time to rehearse and, like, you know, voiceover actors or voice actors in general do. Maybe it wouldn't have been so horrible. For me, at least Grumpy Cat was really cute.
Dude, Grumpy Cat is so freaking cute.
Oh my
yeah. God.
I loved Grumpy Cat. I don't know if everybody knows, not to bring it down, Grumpy Cat died this year.
Yes.
Yes. That's actually how we landed on this movie, is Troy brought that up.
I happen to really like Aubrey Plaza's voiceover. That's what actually made me kind of enjoy parts of the movie.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Dave.
At first, I was like, ah, this is so stupid. And my first view, I did have to watch this one twice.
Ugh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the first time, I was like, this is stupid, and I hate this. And I kept falling asleep, and Donna kept yelling at me and waking me up. And then the second time I watched it was more recently. Her commentary is pretty funny. It's clever. And she makes a lot of references, a lot of digs at Lifetime.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. She does make a lot of digs. And so I did appreciate that. So it's... maybe it wasn't the content. It was just like the way she was delivering it. I'm like, this is, I don't know. A lot of it just felt a little too forced to me.
That's kind of her thing, though. She is a very monotone,
deadpan.
Snarky, deadpan.
And maybe it's because I didn't see her face and her facial expressions. It's just this disconnected voice supposedly coming from this cat. And that's why it wasn't working for me. But honestly, the other voiceover actors for all the animals, that wasn't working for me either. I was just like, is this like, look who's talking? I mean, what's happening here?
I like the bro dog. the dog being a bro. Whoa, dude.
Did anybody else want that to be Chris Pratt, though?
That would have been, wow. Wow.
Well, except they don't like each other, so.
Really?
What?
No, the Grumpy Cat and JoJo the dog don't like each other. So it would be heartbreaking as Parks and Rec fans to hear Andy and April fighting.
No, I think by this time, I don't know when Guardians of the Galaxy came out. Was it around this time or
The first Guardians came out while Parks was still on. That's why Andy goes from
to
frumpy
England.
Andy to hot Andy.
Oh, right.
If this movie came out after Guardians of the Galaxy, then Chris Pratt might have been either too busy or too big to star in this.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or too smart.
Ooh.
But I think what was interesting with this one is about an hour in, I checked my pre-recorded like time and was really sad that it was only an hour in because I thought I had sat through the entire movie and it was almost over.
That happens to me a lot when I'm watching these movies. Hit pause and realize how much more there is to go.
I'm going to be honest. At the beginning of this, I was quite enjoying it for about 15 minutes. They're like, yeah, the one trick pony has done its trick. It's kind of a nice trick. Let's move on. Let's finish this up.
Be done.
Beating that one trick pony.
Stop saying things over and over again. No, I get it.
Until it's no longer living.
Yeah.
And then you continue to beat it.
And it's not enjoyable.
Kind of like what I'm doing right now.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
How many tricks does the pony have?
Meta. Yeah. One. There's one trick for this dead.
Troy's never met a joke he doesn't like.
Oh, yes!
Oh. More puns.
Parks and Rec was on until February of 2015.
Guardians of the Galaxy came out in 2014, same year as this movie.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Chris Pratt was probably just busy.
Unavailable.
And too smart.
I will say the production value on this was much better than the other two Hallmark movies we watched. I was actually pretty impressed with the production value.
I think individually for movies, because Lifetime is not putting out as many, they can put a little more dollars into theirs, where Hallmark is just the McDonald's of Christmas movies.
Like the Amazon, we're just going to dump it out on you and just get it to you in 24 hours. And here's a set that some high school kids threw up or something. And they, you know, painted it real quick.
Quickly assembled.
Exactly. There's shit misspelled on the signs and stuff. And you're just like, what the hell is this? Whereas this was in a legit mall. I think it was shot, I looked it up, British Columbia. No, Vancouver. Yeah, British Columbia.
Well, that's where they're all filmed.
Yeah. Which I didn't realize that, but I was like, hey, man, this is a legit mall. And there's like,
I saw one store that I was like, hey, that's a real store.
Yes. So I was pretty impressed. And
well,
like,
there's a Target in the background at one point.
Oh, I missed that. I saw the children's place.
But like, you know how when it's, you know, painting across the way the film looks, when it's those really cheaply done movies, it's just the filming almost looks like a shaky, like, camcorder.
Oh yeah,
this looked like a real
steady
movie. Steady cam, you know, the whole nine yards. I'm like, I'm pretty impressed with this.
Yeah, well, in this mall, like, as we got farther into the movie, when Crystal goes back to the mall, when she leaves basically what is her mother's work Christmas party,
yeah,
who drags their teen
child to
in the hopes that she'll make friends.
She wanted
like,
to
I was like,
with her.
She's the only teen there.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, when she escapes her mother's work Christmas party and goes back to the mall and just walks in and like whatever, I was like, this mall is as unguarded as the Stargate Mall in Stranger Things. Yes. Like, I was like, what is going on here? And then the bad guys burgle in the same way because the Cinnabon guys leave the damn door open. So, because they're like, how come them Cinnabon guys are always the last ones to leave this place? Oh, they're up baking that delicious dough all night long. And I'm like, but it's 9 o'clock. What are you talking about? You know, so, but they literally, like, the door is left ajar, essentially. Yeah,
it's terrible mall security.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure who's in charge of it.
The mall security officer, the one for this enormous mall,
exactly,
is in on the heist. But
spoiler!
It's a really long shift also.
Yes, oh, man. And every door is unlocked. Yeah. Like, not a single one. The only door that's locked, I'm sorry, is the front door to Whiskers, the pet store.
Yeah, because she had busting to get in there.
That. Yeah.
Well, there's
but
a
every other place,
dog inside, you would lock it too.
Well, they didn't lock the back door to the secret mall hallways.
You're not supposed to know about the secret mall hallways.
Well, if you sort of work there, then yeah, you do.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't pull threads on this one.
This sweater has a big old hole.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely pulling this one apart.
Yeah.
I did notice, and it does bear mentioning, the girl who plays Crystal, who is incidentally also in It. The It remake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she plays Greta Bowie.
She's the mean girl who writes the loser on the kids' cast.
No.
Yes, that's her.
Wow.
She spoke, you could hear her Canadian accent. Sorry about, yeah. Mm-hmm. Her name is Megan, oh, God.
I think it's Charpentier.
Charpentier or Charpentier. But I think she did a good job. She did a good job in It.
Yeah. I think she did all right. I honestly, the adult actors at the work party.
You mean the multicultural adult actors at the work party?
Yes. Though they were multicultural, all working in some sort of food place based on their culture. So can you give it credit for being multicultural when it's still that icky?
Hola, would you like a taco?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
Didn't he give a speech about how much he loved tacos or something when he got his ugly sweater prize.
Yeah.
And he brought his whole family to the work party as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's where Crystal could have met some friends.
They were all adults still. It was
she couldn't have met any friends there because her mom was too busy trying to mack on the elf guy and didn't notice her daughter had left for hours.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know this? Like you said, why bring her there when there's no other children for her to interact with? She's honestly old enough to stay home a couple hours by herself and just call her every now and then, check on her.
Yeah, she's 12. She's old enough to watch kids younger than her.
But if you were going to drag her, wouldn't you check on her every now and then?
Have you guys seen Nui? She's upstairs with Mike. We're all right.
Oh, cool.
Oh my God.
Nah, she'll keep him in line.
I'm more worried for Mike.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm actually half expecting to go upstairs and see Mike is holding himself up in his room with a bottle of bourbon.
Weeping.
Yeah, back and forth going, no Christmas, no Christmas, no Christmas.
Hugging his knees.
Yeah.
Weeping.
Yeah, but I did find it funny that her mother was at this party for however many hours. Like, has anybody seen my child? The one child that is here?
She doesn't ask that question. It's not until Crystal calls her and is like, I'm at the mall and there's bad guys and breaking in and blah, 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 and you need to call the police. And her mom's like, what are you talking about? You're not in another room? How are you calling me? I was like, the fuck, woman?
That reminds me. When mom finally finds and rescues, so to speak, or actually, no, doesn't even rescue her.
She just shows up and watches everything.
Just shows up after all is said and done at the end of the movie. She's like, are you okay? Did those men do anything to you? And then Grumpy Cat says, like, no, that's another lifetime movie.
I have that recorded.
That movie or that line from the movie? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that line made me laugh.
I laughed in that, like,
oh my God.
And they were saying things like, damn and hell. And every time something like that happened, they would be like, it's lifetime. Not Hallmark. Like, she's divorced. It's lifetime. Not Hallmark.
Yes, the horrible divorce. Like, well, what was the line when that mall elf was trying to flirt with her? And she said, like, be careful. All this heavy flirting. The last time I engaged in all this heavy flirting ended in horrible divorce or something like that. Like, that's kind of slamming the door on him pretty hard there, isn't it, asshole? Let a dude eat lunch. You don't have to fucking sit here and talk to him.
She don't want to be with him. She's uninterested. I mean, look at the dude.
He's an elf.
He's a mall elf.
I mean, they're all mall employees.
They all hang out together. Though, oh, yeah. Because, you know.
They all hang out together.
Well, yeah, second floor hangs out together.
There's nothing wrong with being a waitress.
Food court hangs out together.
I worked at a mall. We hang out with any of those other people.
Like, we hung out with your store.
Yeah, just our store. But no, we go hang out with the people at, like, the Great Cookie Company or something like that.
I would have hung out with people from the Great Cookie Company. Yeah. I would have been, like, first people I
Well,
met.
I will say
but
this.
Not with those fuckers at Miss Fields.
Right, exactly.
Or Auntie M's.
Candy. Yeah. I will say that we got so many cookies from there, we started stapling the little bags on our wall, and then they heard about it, and we took a picture and sent it to them, and they sent us a big cookie for free.
So they're desperate to be friends with you, and you Victoria bitches were like, no, I'm sorry. We're good enough to eat your cookies, but we're not going to hang out with you.
Oh, my God.
Usually the food service people, they had cleared out way before we had cleared out.
Well, sure, because it closes earlier.
Oh, yeah. So they were out of there, and we were like 10 o'clock. I'm like, oh, my God, we're still here.
Yeah, try working at a mall bar.
That sounds terrible.
Pete and I. Food service guys that leave before you, that wasn't us.
Is this the same mall bar where Kathleen was injured on the escalator?
I wasn't injured on the escalator.
Oh, Pete was injured.
I may have been.
Pete wasn't injured on the escalator. He was injured when we fell down flat on our faces upstairs. We rode piggyback down the escalator.
That was a bad idea.
I was fine. We didn't fall till we got to the bottom.
Right.
Like, that whole thing is Dave's fault.
What? How is that my fault?
Because I started out the evening at that mall bar and ordered a margarita that you did not put any mix in. So you basically gave me a giant glass of tequila. And that when I went, happened. This is brown. Margaritas aren't brown. You went, and pushed it back across the table at me. So everything that happened after that was your fault.
Yeah, that all sounds like me.
No, it's 100%.
Yeah. I regret nothing.
Me either. Although, don't have a scar, do you?
I don't think so.
See? No problem.
So you're telling me that you didn't, like, have ugly Christmas sweater parties and stuff like that?
Oh, we had some parties like that, but it wasn't a Christmas party.
No. Let's not talk about our holiday party.
That's a good idea. That's a real good idea.
Not on record, anyway.
Yes.
But for the record, our holiday parties, yes, other mall employees definitely went to ours.
Well, yeah, because that sounds like fun. And I bet there were some really kicking parties that the food service people did at the mall food court, but they invited us, but we also probably were too tired to go anyway.
Yeah, I bet those motherfuckers at Brookstone really pull a rager, don't they?
Joseph A. Bangs.
Or like every year, the summer volleyball tournament, Joseph A. Banks against Men's Warehouse.
Yeah. Lids versus Bath and Body Works.
Don't fuck with the Walden Books, people.
Walden Books? What is this, 1998?
I mean, we are talking about malls having enough stores in them that they could have parties and employees.
Oh, Amazon.
It did make me a little sad. I mean, okay, so the Whiskers Pet Shop, I get it. But, like, seeing all those animals, like, in cages and, like, hang out. So I was just like, oh, my God.
Don't buy your pets at a pet store.
I know. No. That was the other thing. All I could think of was, like, puppy mills.
At a pet store with pets being sold. Just
instead, just go out in the wild with a net and try to catch one.
That's how we got Millie.
Shake a couple of trees.
That's right.
A baby will fall out.
She was here. She'd be like, hey. Or she would go. Her new favorite thing to do is she thinks she's Ron Weasley. She goes, oi, all the time now. It's so hilarious.
So when she was doing that earlier, you're like, stop the fake laugh. I think it's hilarious.
I know you do. It's your fault that she keeps doing it because you encourage it.
It's so funny.
It's not funny. It's awful.
I don't get to hear it often, so it's funny.
You need to hear it in the ears of next to her peers who look at her like, the fuck is wrong with her?
In the ear of her peers.
Oh, and like, they just have no sense of humor.
You know what I'd like to hear? My glass getting filled.
That's a great sound.
Does that mean we're getting more booze?
We're getting more booze. We're getting Troy's booze.
Shit.
Wassail, I mean, yes. We shall go.
Woo! And you have a wassail. We'll talk about it.
Give Donna a big glass.
Yes.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
All right.
Let's wassail.
Dave, what are you singing for this?
Huh?
Oh, yeah. What if you're going to have some wassail, you need to sing.
Yeah, you got to sing a song.
Oh.
He's like, we did not rehearse this.
Yeah. I did not realize that I had to perform for this.
Shit. Baby shark. Doo, 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 baby shark.
No!
Doo,
doo, doo. You don't get to have any.
You guys aren't really actually expecting me to sing.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Troy, tell us about this drink, Troy.
We're wassailing. This is wassail.
This is wassail.
This is actually the Bell's Porter.
Oh.
And it's got ginger and nutmeg and allspice and cinnamon and probably another one. I can't think of what it would be.
Baby. Scary.
And then.
Posh.
And then, but then you also take apples. Take apples. And I'm just ignoring them. Put them into a glass container with a little bit of water, and you put.
Can't put baby spice in the corner.
I was about to say, how about them apples?
Baby spice, doo 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 doo. Baby spice, doo 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 doo.
So you cook your apples with brown sugar all over them, and then you take the melted brown sugar, water, and apples all. Put it right back in the crock pot with all the porter and the spices, and then you let it cook for a while, and you get wassail.
Oh,
all
this right. Smells thick and delicious.
Yes.
According to Alton Brown, this is the Alton Brown's recipe.
This smells a thousand times better than it did initially when Millie told Troy it was stinky. Now, in both her defense and mine for agreeing with her about 20 minutes later, the apples were in the oven still being baked, and the crock pot was just like the spice and the booze and
spice and porter.
Whatever. So, it definitely smells a lot better than it did without. So the apples make a big
yeah, this is
different.
Definitely better than some of its parts.
Than the sum.
I have never had wassail with beer. It's traditionally with wine, correct?
Cider.
Okay.
Or apple juice with lots of spice in it. But yeah, I think wassail is a traditional basis, some sort of apple or cider.
Okay. But I like it with these beers. It's really interesting. And I guess I've never had it with a beer. And both of these were with beers. And I'm not a beer drinker, but these are really, really nice. It's a different kind of flavor profile in the background.
Yeah. This really brings out the malty, molassesy, syrupy flavor.
The cinnamon and the sweet apple, I think if we take that out, it's going to be real close to what I had.
You take it out, it definitely smells terrible.
Right. But the apple does what I think I need to work on with my recipe is add enough sugar in there to kind of pull it all together. Because you really can't. Those spices are
they're dry.
Rough without some sort of a syrupy base.
So I just put a little nip of brandy in there and swirled it around. It's lovely.
Give me.
A little bit will do. Make sure stir it up and
just like Grumpy Cat, a little bit will do.
Amen to that.
So as a person who is deathly allergic to cats, I'm often quoted and will tout that cats are evil. Like, I tell people this all the time, and I love Grumpy Cat because he's evil, and he's like, here it is. It's like, I feel like, yes, one of them's finally fucking telling the truth. So I had a stuffed animal Grumpy Cat, and I have a mug, like a coffee mug, that has the Grumpy Cat image on it that just says no underneath of it. And I have it at school. I'd like keep pens or whatever in it because I don't drink coffee as well. I'm a very difficult person when it comes to these things. But but this movie, it made me hate the whole thing.
Aw. No.
Yeah.
So you didn't go to grumpycats.com?
No. I mean, I probably did in the past. Like when the meme was first blowing up or whatever, I probably looked at it before.
Aubrey Plaza told you to do it?
Well, no.
Which she did in this movie.
Yes.
Several times. Product placement.
I found it funny. And I laughed watching ours because we got the DVD from the library. It made me think of Katie having, you know, recorded on the DVR from TV, those spots where it's like ready for a commercial break where they literally say, and now it's time to sell you some stuff. And then it's like, Millie like stopped and looked at us like, what? Because she doesn't get commercials.
Right.
The child has not lived in a world of commercials because when she was little, when we still had cable and she would just watch TV, it would be Disney Junior. Well, then when we cut cable, she watches Netflix, everything is streaming.
Right.
She does not totally grasp commercials. The only thing that she gets commercials from is like shit that she sees on YouTube. And even those commercials aren't real commercials like we know of commercials. So when they were making those comments in the show, every time she'd like look at me like, what the fuck are they talking about? You can just see the look on her face like, what?
You know what? It's probably not just her. There's a whole generation of kids her age. They have no concept of commercials.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they don't know what advertising, they don't know what any of that means. They know ads pop up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they watch it for a brief 5 to 30 seconds before they can get to the thing they want to watch.
Or 5 seconds till you can skip it.
Yep. There's a whole generation of people who have never known the anxiety of like, hitting a commercial break and then sprinting to the bathroom.
Yes.
And then hearing your friend or sibling or whatever in the other room going, it's on, it's on.
Yes.
You're like, motherfucker. And like, and you have to either wipe or shake or do whatever preparation you have to do before you can leave the bathroom and then wash your hands.
Or trying to time when you're recording something like on a VCR.
To program a VCR to record something. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Now, to be fair, because we are tormenting type parents, Millie will be like, she'll have to go to the bathroom or something. She'll be like, pause this. So we'll pause it. She'll go upstairs and whatever. And we'll mostly hear that she's about done. And I'll be like, I'm starting it. Here we go. And she's like, ah! Screaming. But, you know, because she needs to have a full rounded life experience. And, you know, she got to talk about something in therapy when she's an adult. So why not?
But today I was on the way to school. I said something about like, it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. And I was like, she'll never have like a catchphrase from a commercial to reference later on.
Right. Like I was very affected, don't ask me why, by the fake bacon commercial from the 80s for Sizzoline. I'm constantly still telling people if I need to tell somebody to scoot over, I will say, move over, bacon. All the time. Move over, bacon. Like, I say it all the time. I say it to kids and whatever. They're always like, why are you calling me bacon? Nobody gets it at all, which is fine. It's part of the magic that is me. But that's the whole thing. They'll never have that. It'll be some stupid other reference from some dumbass opening presents thing on YouTube
My God, those blind bags.
Oh, yes.
Like the unboxings.
Yeah.
All that ridiculous. The Hatchimals where they were.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't
all
know
that shit is prime my child. Like, she's gone through all of that. We watched the unboxing videos. We watched the... she was dying.
I'm just terrified of the Logan Paul phase or something. Like, who's the YouTube celebrity that she's going to, like... Oh, you're too old to know Logan Paul. He's the...
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's the one that was in the forest in Japan.
Oh, yeah. He's a turd.
Yeah.
Well, he's lost a lot of his...
Good. Fuck him.
What did he do?
Actually, he now has more than before that. I just saw because today he and some other YouTube dude are going to box.
Please don't call them artists. Oh, nice. Good. I hope they knock each other out.
So what did this person do?
He was on tour and he was in Japan. I think Japan.
Yes.
Yes.
And he went to, there's a forest that's, it's like known as a suicide forest. I don't know if it's like very remote or whatever, but it happens to be a place where a lot of people who have made that very terrible decision for themselves go to take their lives. And while they were walking around through that forest, they happened upon somebody.
Yeah.
And he starts thinking, showed it.
And he starts freaking out, but he's kind of like making jokes, I think. Yeah. I didn't seen it.
Yeah.
But like, it was like, just, wow, you have fucking horrible taste. Wow. And like, just no soul.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
When I found out about that, and then I found out about some of his other ridiculous antics, I'm like, oh, so this is a guy that sucks and doesn't deserve anything that he's got.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That's it. That's all.
Yeah, and that's why I'm terrified of the next phase where it's like, God damn it, I'm going to have to learn about these people so I know enough to like, okay, right. Millie.
You can't watch this
right.
dingbat.
Right.
Or just understand that this guy that you are worshiping here, he's an asshole.
I feel so old and out of touch and in the Dude, way.
Yeah. I don't care.
There's a whole world.
It's only because we teach probably that we're aware of a lot of
this
stuff.
Yeah,
because
the kids tell us about
yes,
it.
They do.
And, yeah.
The kids are all wrong, all of them.
I mean, there's a good portion of them, for sure.
Do they know about Grumpy Cat, or are they too young for that?
Some of them might.
I would say, I mean, Millie knows who Grumpy Cat is, and she's a fourth grader.
Yeah.
We probably introduced that to her because we really liked Grumpy Cat.
Right, but we're not, clearly not the only people, because they got funding for a fucking movie.
True.
So
the real question is, if the kids saw those two rockers from the movie, would they guess that they're rockers, like rock star, whatever they're trying to be?
That would have been a good question to ask Millie when she was down here before.
Oh,
what do you think Zach and Donnie's job is?
Zach and Donnie remind me of the emo kids I went to high school with.
I'm in my 40s, and looking at those guys, I was like, yeah, that whoever dressed those guys is out of touch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in my 30s, and I was looking at those guys saying whoever dressed those guys was out of touch.
Yeah.
How do YouTube celebrities dress anymore?
I don't know. That's some old guy's going to dress a YouTube celebrity. That's these guys were dressed.
Well, yes. It's almost like how when people have 80s days and they wear all this neon stuff. Like, that's not
nobody
how people
wore
dressed
that.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
watch Stranger Things. That's how people dress in the 80s.
Yeah, if you want
watch
to see how
the
people...
Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Watch St. Elmo's Fire.
Yes.
Oh, God. A part of my soul died when I found out that there are 90s parties. I'm like, I was in college in the 90s.
It was only 10 years ago. I don't understand.
Oh, back to this. And honestly, it does still just feel like 10 years ago.
It does. Yeah. So back to this shit movie. So, Katie, since you are the resident expert, how many tropes did we hit in this?
Oh, yeah. I thought about busting out the bingo card for this
one. That was interesting. So I did notice at the very beginning there were some carolers that were obviously singing but not quite singing what was heard. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't match. So
that's just bad filmmaking.
It's bad filmmaking, but pretty consistent in a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies.
They were probably just singing the watermelon song, right?
What?
That's what, when you don't know, like if you're in a choir.
Yeah, you just mouth watermelon.
And you lose track of the words or whatever, you're supposed to sing watermelon, olive juice, until you can catch back up with the words.
Oh.
Because from a distance, your mouth still looks like you're singing actual words. I mean, not
like
those aren't words, but you fit in with what's going on until you can catch on to the words again.
Mm-hmm. And I know when Dave mentioned the Santa, that was the magic Santa.
Yes, the magic Santa.
Typically, it's supposed to be a kindly old gentleman who goes by the name of Nick or Chris, because it's a Christmas movie.
That's
and
right.
If you meet someone around Christmas who is named Nick or Chris, they are instantly Santa Claus.
Right. That's true.
I mean, always.
Yeah.
So it's never like a Pilar or
Pilar.
A Jawaharlal.
That would be amazing.
Hans.
Santa Declan.
Brittany.
Declan. Kaylin.
That's hilarious.
Santa Hans.
Oh my God, how long is it
Merry Christmas!
How long is it going to be before
go put a dollar in the Chris Kindle!
A Hallmark movie that's called Declan the Halls.
You just cursed me.
You. You don't have to watch them. I keep telling you this.
But I have my Hallmark and Chill shirt. I have to watch them.
I will make you a different shirt.
You really don't.
Yeah.
This is like all just having dinner and like being served giant piles of poop and everybody's throwing up and you're like, seconds?
You're like, I mean, the plate is so pretty. Yeah.
And I have my I love poop shirt on, so I gotta eat it.
Hey, Donna Snart.
All right. So we got the carolers in the background. Mm-hmm. We got the Santa. Okay, mm-hmm. What else?
There is the mom who is dating the random elf.
Elf dating is a thing?
Well, the single mom.
The single mom. The single mom who don't finds
love.
Well, that's the trope. That's the thing that you see in these movies.
There's always
the
a single
maybe
mom
not dating.
Dating.
Elf, but there's always a single mom dating or okay. looking for love.
Always. Okay. Except in this movie, it wasn't actually a necessary plot point.
They cut back to the party at one point. I was like, oh, yeah. I forgot.
He did. He totally was like, oh, I forgot these people were in the movie.
You forgot the mom was in the movie because she forgot her daughter existed.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Mother of the year. There.
Right.
White elephant. That's another trope. Mm-hmm. There's always some sort of like quirky Christmas
party
something. The ugly Christmas sweaters.
Always.
The gaudy Christmas decorations.
Mm-hmm. Does one of them wind up with fruitcake?
Sometimes. There's always a fruitcake.
Yeah.
Or a mention of a fruitcake. Yes. Or we hate the fruitcake.
They usually use it as a weapon to like knock out the intruders because it's heavy and
you know what?
Dense.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
Oh. Grumpy Cat shot out of the car into the
That's
tree.
Right. That's right.
Mildly entertaining for my cat-hating self.
Take that, cat!
Oh, yeah, speaking of which, is another trope cats being violently ejected from vehicles? Please say yes.
Sure.
That was my favorite part.
Mine too.
Merry Christmas, Kathleen.
Man, if I had more cat-ejecting Christmas movies on Hallmark, I might convert you guys.
The one cat ejection did not save this film.
Right.
Yes. I don't get out of bed for fewer than 3 cat ejections.
I did in the Grumpy Cat voiceover lines or whatever. I found it funny that every time Aubrey Plaza would say a line, like she'd say, you know, something like, "You're ugly." Meow. Like there would be this little meow at the end of it. And it's like that started to go away as the movie went on because A, annoying, and B, she would say more than like single sentence, you know, reading memes at people kind of thing. But I did find that humorous. And then I think like Troy, the one trick pony was done. And I was also kind of annoyed at the Grumpy Cat fantasies where it's like,
oh, yeah.
We're gonna save the pet store by making this $1 million meme. And like, cause it was like 3 minutes of the fantasy and then be like, no, just kidding. And then you go back to where you were before and have to watch more fucking movie. And so it was like, there was that one. There was like British Grumpy Cat yelling at Grumpy Cat about how there's not
the machine gun paintball gun thing.
Yes.
Which made me laugh so much. The Gatlin gun or the Catlin gun.
The Catlin gun. Yeah.
I remember during the first little Grumpy Cat fantasy with the meme, like I'm gonna turn Grumpy Cat into a meme, the pet store owner broke the fourth wall, and I got a little angry, and I remember writing down, "Who do you think you are, Fleabag?"
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
So we got 6. It looks like carolers, Santa, single mom, Xmas party, Xmas ugly sweater, ugly gaudy decor.
Yeah, I think because they were trying to push back against a lot of the typical tropes,
right.
I didn't see a lot of other blaringly obvious ones.
Right. So we didn't have the love-hate relationship that turned to just pure love.
Or the hardworking single woman who works in the big city comes home to her small town and falls in love with her high school sweetheart.
Right. Yeah.
So what else is there?
There's not a lot to this.
There's not.
Oh, no, I mean, like, as far as tropes go, like, I'm just curious about Christmas movie tropes.
Oh, I gotcha.
They're on the bingo card from 2 years ago.
We didn't use that last year, did we?
No, because last year we played the Shatner game.
Oh, that's right.
So let's see. Another one would be girl is dating and or engaged to a workaholic who doesn't have any time for her.
Yes, or doesn't like Christmas.
He's such a Scrooge.
Yeah.
So I guess Grumpy Cat kind of fits the Scrooge trope.
But she could have gone that direction, but they didn't.
I think Grumpy Cat and the kid are the we hate each other, but now we love each other at the end of the movie trope. Because Grumpy Cat's like, stop listening to me. Why can you hear me talking? Go away. No. And then like, because one of the fantasies is also Grumpy Cat saves the day with no help from that girl sidekick kind of story.
Also the Grumpy Cat fantasy where Grumpy Cat's all by herself.
Oh, yeah. Where they throw her out of the thing.
Yes.
That was kind of sad.
That was super, super sad. Oh,
And then the euthanizer at the very end.
Yes.
That was super dark.
That was dark. I know.
She said, wow, this got dark real quick.
Yeah, I know. It was interesting because, you know, Millie watched this movie with us and she's in fourth grade. So we're right on the cusp of how much longer do we have Santa in our world? And I don't remotely know where she stands with it. Like, she could 100% still be a total true believer, or she could have, that ship could have sailed a while ago, and she's like, well, these fuckers still think I believe, and they buy me a lot of shit because of it, so I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. Like, I really don't know where she is on that scale at all. So as we're watching this last night, and they start in right away with like the fake Santa, and they like bring it up like Grumpy Cat saying, and then there's the mall Santa, and everyone, this mall Santa's friends with that mall Santa. I feel this from Troy, because he like turns and stares at me, because Millie's sitting on one side of the couch and I'm on the other, and so I kind of like side eye and looking at her, and she's just watching the movie, like just listening to it, like waiting to see what happens. And then when the magic not Santa comes and is clearly a fake Santa, like when all that's going on and he like pretends to disappear by flipping over the back of the bed, she thought that was hilarious. She cracked up at that. So I just kept waiting for her to be like, so the Santas at the mall aren't the real Santa, and like, I have lied so much to this kid. At any rate, as we're watching this and it's like this whole Santa like clearly is fake in this movie, I'm like, oh God, here we go. All right, we did it to ourselves. That's fine. I'd rather it be us than some asshole at school be like, you still fucking believe in Santa? What's wrong with you? You know, like that's what I'm waiting for. Sure. Is the hysterical, tearful, like, conversation.
Yeah, of course, because like all your web of lies is just going to come unraveled. Yeah,
I'm just waiting for her to find out about Santa and turn and be like, and next you're going to tell me you're not a pirate.
I know.
That's when the therapy starts.
I know.
You were worried about her not having something to talk about.
Of course she was a pirate.
Right.
Well, you had to be thinking about
it. I mean,
yourself,
it also doesn't help that I have the Minister of Vice right next to me who just goes right along with whatever. He never denies or questions or is like, really? Like, he's just like, you betcha, man. I'm so glad she stopped being a pirate or we wouldn't have been able to be married. Like, he just feeds right into it. So.
Oh, man. I would be just to be a fly on the wall during this conversations.
I am the greatest and worst parent all at the same time. I am the most fun and the biggest liar pants on fire.
My problem is I can't keep up with them. So like, we gave the ship a name once. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, and she like, either.
And she brought it up. I was like, I was like, I don't know. So she's gonna test me one day, and then she's gonna be like, aha, you said the ship was the Davy Jones, but I just said it was, and I was like, well, you got me.
It was the Mickey Dolenz.
There you go, right.
The Mickey Dolenz. God damn it, wasn't it?
Oh my God. Well, that's what it's called now, so. Yeah.
The Mickey Dolenz.
The Mickey Dolenz.
That's a deep cut. Right?
Yeah, you have to realize that a lot of this shit's going to be fucking permanent. Because that kid's just going to be taking this with her for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
She's 80 and like senile. She'd be like, I think my mom was a pirate at one time.
Yeah.
Sure, ship was named after one of the monkeys.
Well, we have a special guest here at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night.
We do.
Finally. Well, yeah.
Oh.
I'm right here.
Yes, you are.
See me?
No, you can't see you. It's a podcast.
No,
silly.
Too short.
People can't. Yeah. Because this is a podcast.
That's right. Do you know how this works?
Just speak into the microphone?
Yeah.
That end. This end. Not this end.
The fuzzy end.
This end.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah, there you go. So, Millie, how come you wanted to be on the podcast this time?
Because I love them. Because I wanted to be famous.
Yeah. You want to be famous? Well, Did you? What did you do in order to be able to join us on the podcast this time?
I watched the movie.
You watched this movie? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Have you watched any of our other movies with us?
No.
No?
So just note that, Child Services. So what did you think of this movie?
I loved it.
What did you love about it?
That there were animals and they could talk and it was really funny.
What was the funniest part?
I don't know.
Well, she didn't take notes like a good podcaster should.
I just watched it.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite? Was it Angie Everhart or Erica Eleniak?
That's the wrong movie.
Yeah.
I liked Grumpy Cat the best.
But did you like the little pig in there?
There was a pig?
Don't you remember the pig? He was the funniest one.
You didn't watch the movie.
I did watch the movie.
I'm not sure you did. You might have to be. We have to cut this. I'm sorry. We're not going to be able to use any of this.
Really?
No.
There was no pig. I'm pulling your leg.
Yeah, you bit me.
I thought for sure your mom would squeal on me.
Trumpet sax thingy.
Supposed to say sad trombone.
Okay.
So, did you like the part in the movie when the animals banded together to help each other out in the pet store and the guard grabbed the snake?
Yeah.
Do you think that was funny?
Who did that remind you of?
You.
Yeah.
Why does that remind you of your dad?
He squealed like a piggy. Yeah.
Dad doesn't like snakes.
Does he like Jack Russell Terriers?
What?
Do you remember what happened after he grabbed the snake and screamed, what the dog did after that?
I'd rather not talk about it because it's gross.
That's very astute. That is in fact gross.
Raising them right.
That's right.
Yep, raising them right.
Yeah. Oh. Do you think you could drive a car as well as Crystal drove the car?
No. I am too short and I cannot reach the pedals.
Oh, okay.
Not until you're 12.
Right.
Even then, it'll be questionable. It
should be a couple feet short.
You should reach him at 16, to be honest.
Hey, I'm not that short.
You're not that tall either.
I'm sorry, Millie, you are in fact that short.
Aww.
Yeah. I'm acting like that dog. I forgot his name.
Oh.
Is there anything else you think that our fans need to know about this movie?
There was a cat in it, of course, and it starred the real Grumpy Cat.
Yeah.
What's his name?
But Grumpy Cat's real name is Tartar Sauce.
Is it?
Do you like tartar sauce?
I've never had it.
Oh, okay. Oh.
You would like it.
I don't know.
Do you like mayonnaise, Millie?
No.
Then you would not like tartar sauce.
You like pickles?
Of course not.
Oh, definitely will not like tartar sauce.
No on the tartar sauce, then.
Do you like fish?
Yes.
I thought she was going to say no to the fish. I'm seeing like, well, then it doesn't really matter.
Of course she likes fish.
Threw me a curve, and she does like fish.
Threw you or across the room?
No, you threw me a curve ball.
I threw you on the streets.
We don't sport much. Huh?
I was going to say. We don't sports ball in our house, so that reference is not working for her.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
It's all right. Don't worry. All right. Okay. Any final thoughts?
Should everybody go run and see this movie for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yes. She also made us watch the previews that were on the DVD of this movie.
Previews.
And at the end of each one, I just went, no.
Hey, Millie, if you want to watch any of those, let me know.
Because Katie will watch them with you.
I love them.
Date night.
Yeah. Bowl you want to watch Christmas movies with
you
Katie?
Like popcorn?
I do like popcorn.
What you come here to look for?
I was like, you said date night. And I was like, what?
How about girls' night?
There you go.
That's better.
Okay. We got to teach Pete the lingo.
I clearly do not know the lingo.
You so don't know the lingo, whatever that is.
You don't even know what the lingo for the lingo is, do you, Millie?
Well, I don't know the lingo for the lingo for the lingo for the lingo for the lingo. You're for the lingo.
What was in that orange you gave her?
I don't know, but I don't think I've ever had that much energy in my entire life.
I thought it was just orange, but maybe it was
sugar.
Sugar and methamphetamines or something. I don't
know. Gummy bears.
Yeah, just like that. All right. I think you're done.
Okay, bye-bye, everybody.
Okay, thanks,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Millie.
It was wonderful.
Peace.
Peace out. Baby. I'm going to say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Almost peaced out that microphone.
Bye.
Oh, oh, my God. So I'm just going to apologize to Mike right now. Welcome to a small glimpse of living with Millie.
It's amazing.
Back to this shit movie.
Why? Why, Donna? Why? We have these great conversations, and then you're like, let's talk about the movie some more.
Well, I started thinking about the girl who played Crystal, who was also in It. And as child actors go in these terrible movies, usually they're abysmal. Like, but I will say that
Crystal.
Crystal. She wasn't that bad. Like, she was a pretty good kid actor. Like, was pretty fair.
I mean, I believe that she would have no friends.
Yeah.
she did a better job than those bitches that were mean to her.
The ethnically diverse mean girls, because... Yes.
But don't worry, they all got coal at the end of the movie.
That's
right, they did.
Yes, they did. Because Grumpy Cat's the one who passes out the stockings. Right.
I don't remember that part.
It was at the very end.
Were the credits rolling?
I don't know if the credits were rolling, but it was like a super cut of like what everybody was doing Christmas Day. Oh, after the kid flings the clearly empty boxes from underneath the Christmas tree, desperately looking for a grumpy cat. Thank God her mom did not wrap that cat up in one of those boxes, or she'd have a grumpy rug, and that would be the end of it.
Hey, not all those presents are for you.
Yeah, right?
Well, the cat did get ejected from a fast-moving vehicle.
This is true, but into a soft tree? I don't know.
Well, speaking from experience, while the pine needles and branches will soften the impact, it's still extremely uncomfortable.
You've been ejected from a car into a tree?
No, I've... Do I tell the story?
Yes.
No, I have at high velocity landed in a pine tree before.
Was Wassel involved?
No, because he didn't know he could carol to get that.
No, poor teenage decisions were involved with that one.
Was a trebuchet involved?
Speaking of the cat being ejected, what about the 12-year-old expertly driving... Camaro.
Yeah. She first backs up in reverse, which is how you back up, is in reverse, through the Santa holiday village or whatever, but then is able to maneuver around all the kiosks through the mall and stop and not crash through the door. I actually kind of giggled a little bit when she jumped out of the car and hit the handicap thing for the doors to open. To go through, but I was just like, really?
Well, there was that self-referential stuff Dave was talking about where we didn't have the budget to crash.
Right.
I mean, that kid probably is going around like stealing cars and driving all the time because her mom's not watching her half the damn time. She's too busy working at Applebee's or wherever the fuck it is in the mall and flirting with that loser elf guy.
She totally works at a Crapplebee's. Is for sure.
Ruby Tuesday. Yeah.
That actress looked vaguely familiar, though. And I have to imagine
the
IMDb.
The only actor that looked familiar to me in this whole movie is George the security guard.
Yes, him too.
Did he?
He was that guy. Like one of those guys that you've seen in everything.
Yeah.
But you can never actually place who he is.
Yeah.
I honestly think that we're being very unfair to people who choose to be mall elves.
I'm not being unfair to them. I think that's totally fine.
You said he was a loser.
Well, I didn't say he was a loser.
No. I'm directing all of this at my wife.
Oh, I'm not saying he's a loser because he was a mall elf. I just think he is a loser in general. Sorry, I should clarify that. Because mall elves are actually really hilarious. If you listen to Holidays on Ice David Sedaris.
Oh, absolutely.
They can be really hilarious.
I'm pretty sure David Sedaris was a holiday elf for a season.
He was. And have you listened to that one where he talks about
Santaland Diaries.
Yes, the Santaland Diaries, where he talks about like the kid misbehaving, as because he was an elf at the Macy's in Herald Square, so one of the busiest malls in the country. And this kid was misbehaving, and the mother's like, "You elf, tell Riley if he doesn't behave, then he's going to get coal in the stocking." And he's like, "Well, I told him that Santa doesn't traffic in coal anymore, and that if he's bad, then Santa will just come and take his blankets and all the food in all of his clothing and leave him sitting cold in the dark alone.
He basically Krampus'd that poor kid. It was awesome. Wow.
I do believe that we as a culture should bring Krampus back.
Krampus!
I don't think that word is German.
I think he's German.
Is Krampus also part of the 6 to 8 black men that David Sedaris tells in another story?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I read.
Because he tells a story about like when he goes to all these different cities, he likes to ask them like little fun facts about their city. And one is about their traditions with Santa Claus. And he's like, for some reason, was it in like Scandinavia or somewhere like that? They all tell similar stories, but it involves like there's a Santa figure and he travels with 6 to 8 black men.
Well, I mean, there is a tradition of like Black Peter in like the Netherlands or something like that, which I guess we could talk about, but things would get very uncomfortable very fast.
Well, then let's just not.
Yeah. So let's steer this away from where Donna was taking it.
How about we rate this son of a bitch?
Yes.
I'm struggling.
I give this movie 6 to 8 black guys.
Oh my goodness.
We here at Good Beer Bad Movie Night have a unique rating system where we have a rating system from 0 to 6. 0 beers means you actually enjoyed the movie. You need no alcohol to watch it and get some sort of joy out of it, I guess. A rating of 6 beers means that you conceptually need to be completely impaired in order to tolerate the movie or enjoy it, whatever you want. So basically, the lower the rating, the better the movie. The higher the rating, the worse the movie. Let us start with our guests. Katie, you're a newbie. How many beers conceptually from 0 to 6 do you require to watch this movie?
Okay, so it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
Rating first.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, Katie. What is this, amateur hour?
God, it's like I've never been a guest on here before.
You had the misfortune of following last episode where Pete took like... 15 minutes to give me the rating, and by that time, like, I was they're just dying of old age.
All right, well, I'm going to go with 4 beers.
Really?
Really. It's not the worst thing I've seen.
And she's the one that likes these.
And it's I'm the one that likes them. But it was so boring. And that's saying a lot because, again, I watch a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies that all seem to be about the exact same thing. But somehow I enjoy those more than I enjoyed this one. So I don't have to be completely intoxicated, but 4 beers would have helped.
Okay, that's interesting. Donna, how many beers do you require from 0 to 6 to enjoy this movie?
Surprisingly, I would say only about 3. Not because I found this movie enjoyable, but because when I compare it to last year's, which was so completely dreadful, this actually gave me some things I could focus on outside of the shitty plot. Like, the production value is pretty good, and Grumpy Cat's really cute, and this kid's not a terrible actor, and they got some people who are of different color, even if the roles they're playing are sort of stereotyped, but hey, it's Lifetime, and they said damn and shit and hell, so...
Is it shit?
I don't remember. They just said a couple of curse words. I just remember thinking, wow. So I'd say about 3, yeah.
3, all right. That's a more charitable rating than I was expecting. Kathleen, how many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
I am struggling. It's clearly not The Swarm, so it's not a 6.
I really love that my choice is the bedrock upon which everything else just kind of gets built upon.
Yeah.
The Swarm was exceptionally bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And part of the reason that The Swarm is exceptionally bad is because it is so fucking long. And this, even though I had the pause, how much more of this movie are we enduring here? It wasn't that long. It didn't feel quite as fast as the booby movie from last month, but
Bordello of Blood.
Yeah, but it wasn't that long. So that always helps when I have to watch these movies, is if they're short. If there are any shorts, like that would be you know, something to think about. I don't know. I guess I'm just going to kind of split the difference and say 3, because it wasn't terrible for this type of genre and this type of movie. I was kind of annoyed by just some of their design choices when it came to like the weird fantasy, not flashbacks, but like the fantasy things of like Grumpy Cat saves the day, or it's the meme that's going to save the pet shop or whatever. That was just annoying. But I love Aubrey Plaza. I think she's very funny, and I think that it's mildly insulting that her general just existence is the perfect existence for the voice of Grumpy Cat. So I'm going to say 3.
3 for Kathleen. Troy, you know the drill.
He looks like he has the most shit-eating grin on his face right now.
Because I'm going 2. I actually quite enjoyed this film. Like, and it was a solid 50 minutes too long. You know, this was a half-hour show that was turned into an hour and a half, but I genuinely laughed out loud at least 3 or 4 times in the course of the movie. I really enjoyed watching Millie, like, adore this movie.
She giggled several times.
And she mentioned how she can't wait to watch it again.
So you got to buy this for Christmas, maybe?
Ugh.
Perhaps.
Okay.
That means I can put it away for 12 months a year, so that's not a terrible idea.
So, yeah. Yeah, two beers for me.
All right.
That's all I need.
An unexpected 2 beers from Troy. All right, Pete.
I started giggling at 3, so it gets 3 beers.
So not my genre, so I'm being very clinical about the whole thing.
I also don't want to take 10 minutes to do this. Succinct, damn it.
There you go.
All right, so Pete, that's... Okay, very succinct. And as for me, I thought this movie fucking sucked. But I'm going to give it, on the power of Grumpy Cat's cuteness and Aubrey Plaza's funniness, 2 beers.
Wow.
Because
you are really a fucking cat person. God damn, that cat is not that cute.
Oh, no, no, no.
And I had a stuffed one, and I still own the mug. No.
It's not that the cat was that cute. Yes, the cat was cute, and Aubrey Plaza is funny. It's just that the movie wasn't that bad, and also, and this is a big metric for me, I didn't feel completely insulted.
Mm.
Like, I feel, like I said before, Lifetime had license to make a shit movie, and as a matter of fact, I have serious suspicion that they had this movie in their back pocket already. Not a Grumpy Cat movie, but a movie about some fucking magical animal. Mm. And it could have been a little boy or a girl. I don't know.
There's a formulaic feel to the understory.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it could have been like a Christmas movie of some kind. And they just kind of rewrote it to incorporate Grumpy Cat and like the asides and the meta humor and the meta references. And just made fun of what a shit movie it was. And made fun of the fact that it was Lifetime that produced it.
Mm.
And while it did undermine my ability to make fun of the movie, which really irritated me, I have to admit that it was, that idea was clever. I don't know if the execution was all that clever, but, and for that, I couldn't really fault him. So
yeah,
I'll give him 2 after 2 beers. I'm like, I can endure this.
This movie's not going to age well because no. A, it's a meme turned into a movie. Mm-hmm. And B,
it takes place in a mall.
Honestly, yes.
You'll have to explain what that is someday.
Yeah. Right. And the bubbles floating up with the thought bubble kind of stuff and the interludes and like that kind of stuff. It's not going to age well. Like a couple of the Grumpy Cat puppet cats that were like the dancing ones or like the superhero ones or whatever looked terrible the day the movie was released. So I can't even imagine 5 years from, because the movie's already 5 years old. So let's add 5 more years or 10 years or whatever. But I can see it becoming a weirdo cult classic, like this insane meme became a movie. I can see that happening. I mean, I hope I'm dead before it happens, but channeling my inner Grumpy Cat right there.
Well, if for nothing else, it will be an interesting cultural snapshot because it was pretty much when Grumpy Cat was in her prime.
Oh, totally.
So to look back from an, I guess, a sociological or even like an archaeological perspective, like, yes, back in 2014, this is what people thought was fun for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But now we live a much more enlightened age and time where...
God, let's hope so.
Where there's no more butt and dick jokes and taints and boobs and...
Yes, let's push toward the Vulcans and away from the Morlocks. We're definitely headed toward the Morlocks. Oh,
so hot.
Was that an H.G. Wells reference?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Oh, that was kind of awesome. Anyway, so that's 4 for Katie, 3 for Donna, 3 for Kathleen, 2 for Troy, 3 for Pete, and I said 2. Fuck, I did say 2, didn't I?
Yeah.
All right, well, yeah, I've committed.
Like, this movie sucked.
I'm going to give 2.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's
not hey, we have
why
all
there was
saying.
Stunned silence in the room when he first started talking.
We have all watched movies that we know suck but still enjoy, Katie.
I plead the 5th.
Yeah.
Honey, you do too. Come on.
Yeah. What is that? Space movie of the... It's the 7 samurais, but it's in the space.
Battle Beyond the Stars.
Battle Beyond the Stars.
You like that movie?
No, I didn't.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that
I detested that movie.
That was
no,
all 6s.
What was the movie? I don't remember.
Oh, Space Hunter.
That one.
Space Hunter. Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
That's the one. I knew there was space bullshit they Molly made me watch Ringwald. That Dave liked.
Did I like that one?
There was a lot of alcohol going on that night.
Yeah, there was.
Anyway, Kathleen, how can folks get a hold of us here at the Good Beer Bad Movie Nights?
Dear listener, you can send us hate mail to gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at that same set of complicated letters podcast, or you can follow us on the Facebooks at Good Beer Bad Movie Night. So that's how to get a hold of us. Send us your love. Send us your hate. Send us your beer. Send us a decent movie suggestion.
Speaking
please,
of sending,
please, please.
We got one.
Who's it from?
It's our buddy at Time Shifters Podcast, Mr. Christopher Page.
Okay, I Yay. Like that guy, but yeah. I'm still leery about what this movie suggestion is going to be.
Well, it's not a suggestion. He emailed us right after last month's Bordello of Blood film, and here I will try very hard to read this on my teeny tiny screen with my terrible eyeballs.
I have good eyeballs. You want me to read it?
No.
I don't want to read it.
So Christopher says... By the way, thank you, Christopher, for writing into Good Beer, Bad Movie Night. Christopher says, it has been forever since I have watched Bordello of Blood, so I remember nothing about it, even after you talked about it. Disappointingly, they went for the Jew joke as the explanation to the power of faith rather than just the crucifix, which had been done many times prior to this film. Not that I would really expect any true groundbreaking addition to the vampire lore in a Dennis Miller movie. I wish I could remember the name of the movie, TV movie, or maybe TV show, though I know it was an 80s vampire flick that has the hero trying to use the crucifix to save himself, but is schooled that it only works if you believe. He, of course, later finds his faith and manages to use a gravestone cross to defeat the undead baddie. Doctor Who, of all things, did something really interesting on this idea. In the 1989 episode Curse of the Fenric, a soldier uses a military pin and his faith in his country to hold off a mob of vampires. And the companion Ace is protected by her overwhelming faith in the Doctor at one point. He says it was a fun show. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Christopher.
Aw. Did he also include an address where I can send him a sticker?
I will get that for you.
Excellent.
Christopher, you're going to get a Good Beer, Bad Movie Night sticker for giving us a shout. Thank you so much. And we appreciate it. Hey, if you got something to say, shoot us an email and we'll throw you a sticker. Or give us a
rating
on the
iTunes,
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts, yeah.
Yep. So I have survived another year of Good Beer, Bad Movie 12. Hey, what? 12 terrible films. And there are some changes afoot here at Good Beer Bad Movie, dear listener. The first change, the biggest change, the one that is definitely going to be most important to you is that starting in January of 2020, I can't fucking believe it's already January of 2020, but in January of 2020, our episodes are going to start being released in the middle of the month instead of at the beginning of the month due to life and schedules and editing and jobs and blah, 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 blah. It's just a lot easier if we release in the 15th of the month instead of the 1st. So when the episode for whatever piece of crap Pete has made me watch for January doesn't release on January 1st, fear not, dear listener. It will be on the 15th. So that's the first change that is coming that you will notice. And I wanted to, you know, make sure you didn't panic and get all sweaty that we went somewhere, because Pete is going to keep making me watch these movies. So the other change that is coming is we have a tantalizing new addition to the podcast. And that is that we've decided, we've noticed as a team that we've become a little lackadaisical when it comes to the 6-minute synopsis really being a 6-minute synopsis. I mean, Dave was very close in this episode. He only went over by about 35 seconds. Pete was horrifically terrible at 10 minutes last month.
It was bad.
And I was guilty of it in September when we sat down to do it. I literally said, this is not going to happen in 6 minutes.
I think I was 8 minutes in October.
Yeah. We thought we need to tighten up the ship a little bit here. So there is going to be a highly entertaining consequence if you are a little too short or a little too over when it comes to your 6-minute synopsis. So we are working out details, but needless to say, you might start hoping we fail in our 6-minute synopsis because you might be more entertained by the failure than the actual success. Not the show. Definitely you'll be more entertained than the damn movie, but yeah.
So what will happen if we go too short or too long?
Well, I have been collecting / creating a list with the help of my fellow podcasters of little ditties that one will have to sing.
Ditties.
So these songs are not going to be tasteful or dignified when we sing them.
Oh, no. And they're going to be catchy little tunes. I mean, some of them might really stick in your head like glue.
God. Oh, you're a dick.
You're evil. So evil.
I literally spent 10 minutes telling you guys I'm a terrible person earlier.
So. Galaxy glue. Galaxy glue.
Could be. Something to look forward to. I think it's going to be very entertaining. Troy and I were cracking each other up the other day, making up songs, standing in the kitchen. So
she was making me laugh.
Yeah, Pete has shot a few lines here or there that I thought were good. Dave sent us a
hilarious.
I did. Dave sent us a hilarious audio file of one that he was toying with already. So
it sounds like we got new stuff in the new year.
Yes, I'm just desperately trying to find something to make this entertaining for myself.
Hey.
Well, I mean, the podcast is great, but the movie, God.
Well, it's not going to get any better in January.
Oh, I know. And it's Jen Erdman's fault.
It is Jen Erdman's fault.
I'm already blaming her, and she hasn't entirely picked a movie yet.
She suggested a few, but I don't want to say anything because we're honestly not even exactly sure what we're doing.
There's always pick a movie, and then do we have access to it?
Right,
so.
Right. So that'll be a surprise. We'll throw something up on the Facebook when we know,
right?
When she lets us know. But we'll welcome Jen Erdman back. She was here last summer, summer of 18.
Oh, Tough Turf.
Or Tough Turf.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah. James Spader and Robert Downey Jr.
Yes. The Avengers prequel.
I believe
she called it.
That is what she called it. That was the first and only 6-minute synopsis where we literally called a full halt and went, what? Before she could even get very far into it.
Like one sentence, I think it was.
She called it a classic.
Right.
No, she called it a classic Avengers prequel. And I was like, no, yeah. Stop.
Troy's little Marvel heart just almost exploded. So,
yeah.
So we'll see what Jen has in store for us. And you don't have to blame me for this one.
No, I don't. I don't at all. Do we have plans for future ones? Or are you hiding them in a bucket of hell?
Dave and I have been compiling a list. I've got a couple that I'm eager to do. Of course, in the new year, we're going to have our Mexican monster movie. We'll have our independence. And some birthdays will come up here and there also. So until next time.
Some people are born great. Others become great. And the rest watch cat movies. Guess which one you are.
Stop pointing at yourself, Katie.
Nobody could see you gesticulate. This is an audio recording.
Oh, God. I'm so glad I was looking right at you when you did that. So it's very funny.
Yes, it's very dignified.
And then he followed me around for like 2 hours screaming German words at me randomly.
Glockenspiel! Der Salzen das Pfeffer!
Julia Sugarbaker is my spirit animal.
Glockenspiel!
That is a German word that you don't scream.
Bitte schön!
How do you not like Steel Magnolias?
You're dead inside?
What's happening to your face?
It smells like how I would imagine Andre the Giant's crotch would smell.
Ew.
What is Adderall?
Busting out their Menudo 1983 Christmas album. Wow, that was oddly specific.
I did not know that even existed.
It sounds like somebody just grabs a parrot and throws it across a room. Like, ah!
Honey,
I actually really like offbeat Christmas songs.
I was really hoping you would say I really like Menudo.
This one horse trick. Or one trick pony as one horse trick.
How much of that brandy did you have there?
The girl.
Poor Dave.
Kazoon tight! Dockerson! Shoot, Stoffel!
No, I should not yell that.
I'm so, so, so sorry, listener.
How do you say sorry in German?
As tut uns leid!
What the hell is going on over there?
I'm going to Frozen 2!
I'm not ready yet.
You made me...
Muttley.
Muttley, you made me Muttley laugh.
I'm ready now.
Why is it always 6 to 8?
Because they don't have a number for 7?
Yeah.
Did you ever keel haul anybody or make him kiss the gunner's daughter?
No.
Do you kiss on a first keel hauling?
Meow. Meow.
Meow. I'm going to try to work in the word grundle.
Honey.
Dicks and taints and grundles.
What the hell was that?
The guard throws the snake and it goes, wee!
There was a kid in last year's movie. But
it was Gary Coleman. It wasn't a child, Donna.
Jeez, Donna.
And I had a chance to really absorb it.
Rectally.
I have to sing a Christmas song.
Oh, okay. You know, because we are living in a material world. And Christmas is different for me. We here at Good Beer Bad Movie, not motherfuck my butthole. Mom, if you're listening, please don't do any of that.
Feneric. Oh, shit.
We here at Good Beer Bad Movie Night have a rather... goddamn it, Troy. Cookie Monster, Cookie Monster. Okay.
What the fuck? We...
Bok, bok.
Bok, bok, bok.
No, that's not German. Bok, it's chicken. Oh, shit.
Honey.